for December 31st, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm the Baby New Year, sitting in my birthday suit, ready for the big night.
I saw it coming. I knew it was happening because it's happened every year for 5 years, but I still wasn't ready.
Am I ready? You know what? It's 2020. It's, yeah, everybody's going to be able to see me.
It's very visible. Yes. Everybody.
It's perfect vision.
Clarity.
A lot of clarity.
A lot of clarity in 2020.
And a lot of baby powder for me coming up.
I still didn't see it coming. Oh, happy New Year, everyone. Hope you're enjoying yourself. It is New Year's Eve, and we are ready with all the information that you need to survive another year.
Steve, I'm going to put on a sash to welcome in the new year. And
I'm going to grow out my beard. I'm gonna just have that old man beard and just walk around going, get off my lawn.
That's right. I can't drink yet, Steve. We have to wait till the fireworks start later on.
That's right. Then we can start in on whatever we're doing for 2020.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. The best Star Wars movie of 2019 is not The Rise of Skywalker. It's The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
Hey, and it also stars another baby, Steve.
Yes, Baby Yoda is the token baby for 2019. That is for sure. Name another baby.
Well,
in 2019.
Baby New Year.
Why do I even say things? The Mandalorian is not a movie. This was false advertising on the part of Disney. We were told over and over again, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau told us that this was a four-hour movie in the Star Wars universe, and that's not what it was.
Well, it had a very strong beginning, and it had a very strong ending.
Agreed.
Tag and Bink showing up.
Tag and Bink.
They were the two guys on the speeders.
Gotcha.
Who are kind of...
Jason Sudeikis and the other guy that I didn't recognize at all.
Sure. And okay. If you want to know more about Tag and Bink, look up Kevin Rubio.
Okay.
And he has a comic series written on Tag and Bink.
Well, there you go.
They are the two... stormtroopers who just kind of show up all over the place.
Well, there you go. There's a good reason why that was a good scene. It had that background knowledge. There was a story written, and they utilized that story in the series.
In fact, the entire series used, you know, they mentioned Life Day, or mm-hmm. they mentioned something that kind of throws back to like a time that you go, oh yeah, I have a little bit of knowledge of Star Wars.
The Mandalorian, I really enjoyed. I think this is my favorite Star Wars of 2019. It is Star Wars, but it's a Western. This is a lone guy who's the guy who you call when you need something, and then he gets connected to this child who needs him, and he finds a way.
And you know, we were talking about, that's right, the way.
This is the way.
And in fact, that's what's so important about this. The J.J. Abrams version, Disney's version of Star Wars, the three episodes. Is there anything that grabs you as a meme or some pop culture? But no. If I say, I have spoken.
Uh-huh.
That was, all of a sudden, we've got a catchphrase.
We've got t-shirts. That's right. Pop culture at its best. We've got catchphrases. We've got the Baby Yoda.
Absolutely. Which everyone loves Baby Yoda.
Merchandising.
My kids who don't watch Star Wars know Baby Yoda.
They know Baby Yoda because it's cultural. What is the cultural takeaway from The Rise of the Skywalker? Just, that's over. That's about it.
So this was very interesting. I question why this wasn't just a movie,
mm-hmm.
and would it work better if, you know, every 3 months or so we ended up having a movie based on something like this?
Yeah.
Versus we had the series, and now we have to wait an entire year?
That seems like bad planning. Like, what is on the horizon for Disney Plus this year? And there's very little that they've announced. Maybe there's something that they haven't announced that they're going to tell us about, but I know of nothing in 2020 that's coming up on Disney Plus other than the huge back catalog.
So, you know, you can pay I got, you get it with part of your cell phone service, right?
Correct.
You get
Verizon, 1 year. Right? I have it for the full year without paying a penny.
Okay. Well, you pay for your Verizon.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Extra.
So, that's right. So I got a special deal when they were announcing it, $60 for a year.
Okay.
So now I have this catalog of old Disney films. Mm-hmm. I guess my kids want to go through it. But really, I mean, there's really not much else I have to watch.
Yeah.
Encore is very interesting.
Encore is good. The Jeff Goldblum looking at the world show is fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm using my hands.
And they could certainly make more shows like that. Find that cultural icon like Jeff Goldblum and put him into some sort of TV situation. The Mandalorian is a TV show. It suffers from the same problems.
It is a television show.
And since there are people like you that don't watch television,
yeah,
this is one of those things that it really suffers in its storytelling because you're right, there are episodes of this that are not good.
A lot of the inside can be taken away. Because it is. We were landing on the planet. We need a part for our machine.
Uh-huh.
We've arrived to the planet. There's something bad going on. We must solve that. And all of a sudden, you've got David Banner exiting, uh-huh, walking. The Hulk theme, uh-huh, is playing. Da-da-da. You know, the Hulk has just left.
It is so Doctor Who. It is so X-Files. The cameos in The Mandalorian, where we saw Ming-Na Wen, and everyone went, oh, good, finally, Ming-Na Wen is joining the cast. And then by the end of the episode, she's gone. She's dead.
Spoiler, Steve.
Well, okay, we should have said spoilers before we started this. But yeah, this is a TV show. It's a good TV show, and it's a Star Wars TV show. It's the first live-action Star Wars TV show.
This is a good one for teen boys and people who have interest in Star Wars.
And
middle-aged
men who love Star Wars.
Teenagers, I apologize. It's a teenager type of, mm-hmm, of show. So when we say good show, you know, I don't want to confuse it with, like, something that's really an adult good show.
So this is not Game of Thrones? Is that your comparison that you got in your head?
This is not
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones didn't end well, but it's not the first season of Game of Thrones. It certainly isn't some of the better ones, The Watchmen and things like that. These were better series.
Okay.
So, but this is, you know, this is exactly who Disney is aiming this towards. Mm-hmm. And it did a pretty good job at doing
it. I liked it very much. I will probably watch it again because it is so short. It's only 4 hours.
Well, 30 minutes sometimes, 45 minutes another time. I mean, it's just kind of, and that's the beauty of streaming. It can be anything.
Mm-hmm. And I have it for a year. You got the chance to see Bombshell. This is the movie version of the story of Roger Ailes at Fox News.
Sure, and it stars my three favorite international women, my South African, Charlize Theron, and the two Australians, Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie.
Uh-huh.
So this is the story of Roger Ailes. If you don't know who Roger Ailes is, he was a very influential person who ultimately built Fox News to be the juggernaut that it is. And it still, I think, dominates news right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a philosophy on how to run a network. And in fact, he wanted his women to be very beautiful. He recognized that news was a very visual medium as far as delivering that. And you can imagine what the challenges of that,
mm-hmm,
are. He was accused of inappropriate sexual requests.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is a story of what some people are willing to do to move up the ladder to be that star.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to ask yourself, was it worth it or not?
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of a person who was an anchor on a Fox show, a morning show, who says she was sexually harassed during her show, ultimately was moved to a midday show that was basically a demotion because she filed a complaint on that. And then the idea was she filed a lawsuit against Roger Ailes directly because that was the only way she could, I guess, get through her non-compete or something of that nature. I apologize. I'm mixing this up. Ultimately, we had Megyn Kelly step in and say she was also harassed. And that was a big statement. And that was the downfall of Roger Ailes, who, once again, was this incredibly important person. This movie had an audience that was talking the entire movie. It was kind of unusual mm-hmm. to have that many people talking. But you could just see that people were... this movie just prompts you to go, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. this is really going on. And when you're watching it, you can't help but know that maybe there is this going on. Not maybe, but you know.
This culture.
But also how unnerving it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the other part you want to think is, what part of this is... You know, Roger Ailes built a network and he recognized people are visual. And so, you know... this gets really kind of, you know, you can't help but think about this.
It's really challenging because, yeah, we don't want anybody to be hurt.
No one should be harassed.
Right.
In society. You're human. You have all the rights of a human.
Mm-hmm.
But Roger Ailes knew that there was visuals that made people more likely to watch than not watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what an interesting story to tell. I'm incredibly glad that I watched this. This is a very good film. This is 70 out of 100. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, but this was really nice. And it also was very interesting. You had a large female cast, which rarely do you have a female cast in this type of movie. I hope there's going to be more films like this. Not about sexual harassment, but I mean, having this type of star power.
The challenges, yeah. Okay, so would you suggest this one to...
This is a grown-up film.
Okay.
So, if you're going to go to the film and it's New Year's Day or something, you know, we have a very short list coming out this week, and this interests you, I would say go ahead and watch it. There's no doubt that Charlize Theron did an incredible job playing Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just an incredible... You're sitting there listening to the delivery of this person talking, and you're going, wow, that's really interesting. I'm not a person who watches a lot of news or Fox News, but I'm familiar with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, very interesting.
There you go. You got a chance to see a documentary called The City That Sold America. This is the story of advertising in Chicago.
And this is on Amazon Prime, by the way. If you have Amazon Prime, you can go and watch this. This is the story of how Chicago created the language of advertising that we all know. And it goes from things like from newscasts. So if you're the newscaster and you're addressing the camera person, and you're addressing the person
who is... The producers and all the staff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This very casual way of delivering. This was developed in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, something... What would we want to know? Hey, we've got a good product. We're trustworthy. Come see us. And so this was very much a very Chicago way. There may have been innovations that helped, that went on elsewhere. But when they got to Mid-America, particularly Chicago, we created the language to bring... I said we. Chicago... The individuals that live in Chicago create the language to bring it to the masses.
Not North Carolina?
Well,
This is one of the ones that North Carolina didn't start?
North Carolina changed banking.
I blame myself for bringing up North Carolina.
So there's another thing that was really interesting on this. There is a black advertising agency called, I think it's called Denison. And the gentleman who ran Denison talked about how Coca-Cola and McDonald's hired them. And what he really wanted to say was that Black America is not just white people who have different skin color. He said Black America had their own culture. And what he was using is there was either a McDonald's or a Coca-Cola commercial that used doo-wop, where the people are kind of sitting around the stoop and they're doing doo-wop, and how this was very interesting. There's also one where there's a home and they're doing the
Double Dutch.
The Double Dutch.
That's a very cultural icon commercial.
And what he was basically saying is I can one, reach Black America, but I also can reach the rest of America, and they can identify this,
mm-hmm.
which was a very different feeling,
right,
than what was being offered at the time. So he was ultimately able to change how we look at, you know, different groups in the United States. We have all these different, you know, you can imagine there's groups that want to advertise to Hispanics, and there's groups that want to advertise to women only, mm-hmm. or to teens, or any other demographic you can kind of slice up the world in. But he was the pioneer that brought that to I guess the United States. Mm-hmm. This is just a lovely, lovely. I want to learn more about this because it is a fascinating, fascinating story. The City of Stolen America. I recommend this. This is probably 75 out of 100.
Nice. And you also got to see another iconic film. This is The Godfather from 1972.
That's right. Steve.
Yes.
It stars Martin Brando. And Al Pacino.
Marlon Brando with a cotton ball in his mouth, so he mumbles.
he does. And this is a great film. Yeah. I cannot believe I had not seen this film. This is a great film. There's a reason why.
It is number 2 on the AFI Top 100 Movies of All Time list.
How did I not see this film?
It happens.
Well, anyway, I enjoyed this film.
Speaking of the Chicago way.
That's right. I would highly recommend watching it. If you haven't watched it, there's a reason why we go look at old classics. This came out in 1972, Steve. Mm-hmm. So it was a long time ago. I think maybe I'll watch Godfather Part 2 now.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Don't go on to number 3. Just go on to Carlito's Way or some of
did
the
others. Did you
other.
See this?
I've seen... I don't know that I've actually sat down and watched The Godfather, but I know...
Hey, you should probably try the VO and maybe sit down and watch this sometime.
Take the gun. Leave the cannoli.
That's right.
There's again, those pop cultural moments, those T-shirt moments in The Godfather. It's all in there.
Steve, maybe this is a good film that you may want to watch, Steve.
I may come to you with a favor. I don't know any of the lines. All I'm thinking of is Fat Tony on The Simpsons. Where is the money? Why aren't you getting the money right now? I got a chance to see not a great movie, but it's one of those rom-coms. My wife and I were sitting around.
Right. So I saw Bombshell, mm-hmm. and City That Made America, and The Godfather.
Yeah.
And you got to see...
Always Be My Maybe. This is a Netflix original. This is Ali Wong and Randall Park.
Steve, this doesn't sound like Cats.
No, this is much better than Cats. That's their tagline, better than Cats.
Better than Cats.
This was a good movie. It's just a pretty simple girl and boy growing up together. They love each other, but they don't know that they love each other until they become adults, and she's dating Keanu Reeves.
Is that the story of Cats?
That's the story of Cats, as far as I know.
All right.
A lot of special effects. Lots of special effects. Always Be My Maybe. I would not necessarily recommend, unless you're
this
in
is
a,
on Netflix.
Yeah, if you're in a mood for a rom-com, this is on there.
Cats is not on Netflix.
That's right.
It's at the theater.
And sometimes access is the right thing. If you can get to a movie, here's a movie to watch. Always Be My Maybe. Opening this week, speaking of movies that
there's
you might
short
be able to
list,
get to,
Steve.
Here's a short list of movies that are coming out this week. Basically, go see the movies that came out last week. Those are the movies that are going to be your choices for this week. What we have this week, very interesting. There's a movie called The Grudge that's opening this week.
Steve, The Grudge, we've been waiting for this for years.
Have we?
I don't know.
This is something called an interquel. This is a movie that takes place at the same time as the movie called The Grudge from 2004.
Wow. So
it's not a prequel.
I never saw The Grudge in 2004. Okay. Did you?
No, this is a horror type movie, so I didn't watch The Grudge.
Well, I guess this is the center part. Maybe if you enjoy this, you can go back and see the other ones.
I'm sure that there are people who love The Grudge so much that they'll watch the movie The Grudge after they watch the movie The Grudge. Very confusing. Very confusing title. But time travel is possible, and that's okay. You can go back to 2004 and watch that movie. Or...
You can do what Steve has set his entire year.
My timer on my phone says that there's only one more sleep until the new Doctor Who finally hits our TVs tomorrow on New Year's Day, just like it did last year.
How early does it play?
It is on primetime in England, so you subtract 6 hours to figure out when it's on in your local area, and then on BBC America, it will be on at 6 p.m., Central Time tomorrow.
So, Steve, will you be watching the BBC America version?
Yes. Ish? I will certainly find access to BBC America. Yes. Yes, Chip. I will find a way to watch this TV show tomorrow.
Now, this is a two-parter?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
This is, the episode is called Spyfall. Get it? It's a James Bond reference. It's about spies.
I don't get Doctor Who. Stuff.
There was a movie called Skyfall.
Oh, I know that.
It's a James Bond movie.
I know that.
This is a spy episode. They called it Spyfall. The first part of it comes out tomorrow night, and part two is going to be on Sunday.
Is that it?
It's a two-parter. Yeah.
And the season didn't start?
This is the beginning of the season. Yes,
oh, okay.
This is the beginning of the season. Every Sunday from then on, we'll get a new episode of Doctor Who through March.
Really?
Yes.
So Steve's a happy boy.
Finally. Well, we got through the wilderness year that was 2019. There was one episode of Doctor Who in 2019 that was on New Year's Day.
Sure.
364 days ago, Chip.
Well, have you watched it again?
No, I didn't watch that episode again. Here's the thing, Chip. Doctor Who Season 11 was a very different season from the previous 10 years of Doctor Who.
Okay.
We got a new doctor. Jodie Whittaker is our doctor. And we got a new writing staff and a new producer and a new showrunner. And it's a very different show. I honestly didn't like the last season of Doctor Who that much.
So, do you have high hopes for this season?
I do, because the trailer, and you can click on it in our show notes, the trailer has three little words that the doctor says to the audience. The three little words, big, serious crisis. That was, in my opinion, the problem with season 11 was every problem was very small. They were very small human problems that the doctor was solving.
Okay.
There was no big, major, the world is going to end, the universe is collapsing, the doctor's the only person in the whole universe that can save us all. There was no moment like that in season 11. Season 12, they've made a promise to us that this is going to be big, serious crisis.
We look forward to your review, Steve.
I'm excited for the new season of Doctor Who. You can't wait till Sunday, January 5th, and go to your local movie theater and see it together. Our friends at Fathom Events are going to be presenting the new episode on Sunday. And
they have a question and answer as part of that, too.
Like most Fathom Events, there's a little extra footage of all the people putting that show together that we can get a little more information that's very valuable. I don't tend to go to the Doctor Who episodes 3 days after they put out because I've already seen them. But I do look forward to Doctor Who coming back to our TVs tomorrow. Book it. Brings us to our book of the week. Okay, Chip, you remember a couple of weeks ago, we read a book about immortal people. We found this book.
Those people can live forever, Steve.
We thought that it was a time travel book. It looked like a time travel book, but it wasn't. It was about immortality.
Correct.
About scientists who developed a way to be immortal. And we were a little disappointed in that story because the immortality lasted about 50 years.
It didn't last forever. That doesn't sound immortal to me, Steve.
So, I found another book. This one is called Alexander X. It's by Edward Savio. And this is the story of a true band of immortal beings living amongst us.
Is this the son of Charles X?
This is the...
Charles Xavier, Steve?
This is not Charles Xavier.
Is this part of the school that he runs?
This Alexander was named after Alexander the Great...
Oh, is he Alexander the Tenth?
No, the X is because he keeps changing his last name to try to hide his immortality, you see.
Oh, uh-huh. Because being immortal is probably pretty cool for a little while, but eventually everybody dies off and you have to start all over.
This brand of immortality is even more complicated than that. These immortals, they live 100 years, and in that time they have aged only one biological year. So this person was 1 year old in body and mind for 100 calendar years. Now he's 15 in body and mind, and he's been on the earth for 1500 years, lived through so many phases of humanity.
So he's a teenager.
Yes.
Living in Is this a young adult book?
This is a young adult book. He is living that teenage life and having all the foibles of teenage life, and he's had them for the last 300 years.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun, Steve.
It does not sound like fun. He complains about puberty. You know, everybody else who goes through puberty, you know, it's a problematic time in your life. For a few years, you're like, I don't want to do anything. He's been doing that for hundreds of years. And his father, who is also immortal, is very careful about what things he's allowed to do because they don't want to be revealed as immortal. They need to change their identity every few years, change their location. He's never had a real true home. And that's the main story here, is everything that he wants to do, he can do for a very short amount of time before he has to leave and start over again with a new existence.
Okay. All right.
Then we get into the antagonist side of this story, where there's a group of immortals who want to control the planet. They are immortal. They have all the knowledge from their entire lifetime, which can be thousands and thousands of years, and they are trying to find power in the world and become the, you know, politicians, bankers, whatever they need to do to have everything.
This sounds like a conspiracy book, Steve.
Uh-huh. The conspiracy starts there with all of these people who want to maintain their power and have to switch identities every, 5 to 10 years in order to be the most powerful people on the planet. This is a good book. This is a good story. The characters are very well fleshed out, and they have some interesting conversations about immortality, about loss, about suffering, and all of these things come together in this one story, which is then extended because this is the first in a book series. I haven't gone to book two yet, but there is a whole
this is
other
a series.
Series. Yes. The Battle for Forever is the name of the book series. And I think I'm going to go into book two next because this was a very interesting conversation about immortality and power.
And so who is this aimed towards? Junior high?
This is a junior high to high school, early high school age book. This is definitely a book that goes into the concept of that age versus the idea of the future. My students have a real hard time sometimes thinking about future, thinking about how what they do today is going to affect anything in their future. We, as middle-aged people, we're looking back at some of the choices that we've made and seeing the path that we've chosen to get to where we are today. And kids sometimes can't see that.
Well, the sash is kind of cold, Steve. I think I'm going to need to Have something else. That's maybe a onesie or something.
That's the future. See how you're looking toward the future. You're thinking about what's going to happen in the next couple of days as you age very quickly in your immortality.
Oh, that's well.
You
it's,
only
it's,
last 1 year.
It's only a year. By the time of the end of the year comes, I'll have a great big beard, Steve.
That's right. This I did listen to the audiobook version of this.
Okay.
This is an Audible exclusive read by Will Wheaton.
Really?
Will Wheaton. I tell you, Will Wheaton is one of my favorite Audible narrators right now. He has found his voice.
Certainly is his niche.
This is definitely the kind of book that I like to read, and Will Wheaton and I think we could hang out because I think that we have very similar tastes. This is definitely his kind of job to take.
And the beauty is that this ends and it sets up for the next part.
This is a good one story, beginning, middle, and end, with the anticipation of mm-hmm. what could happen because they're immortal.
Do you think this is going to be like a trilogy, or do you think it's just like an ongoing series?
I honestly don't know. That is a good question that I don't know the answer to. Okay. It seems to me...
Inquiring minds want to know, Steve.
It seems to me that the better stories would be a trilogy,
okay.
a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes, just sometimes, when authors write more than three, the fourth and fifth and sixth books are kind of a stretch. But okay. when we're talking about immortals, there could be an infinity of time to write stories, and the things that happen to these people could be very interesting. I do suggest this one. It's called Alexander X by Edward Savio.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. It is the last day of 2019, Chip.
Well, you know, next year is going to be a mellow year, Steve.
We're going to see very clearly.
Well, I was going to say much more mellow, as the rules change here in Illinois, only in the state of Illinois, right? Not outside of the other states. There seems to be some law changes, which could make a very interesting year for us, Steve.
It is. There are going to be some changes in the ways that we do things, and some of those are going to...
There's going to be they're going to blaze a new future, Steve.
Oh, you just... Between you... I have a coworker that talks about this every day.
Really?
Is
it Cheech
day.
Or Chong, Steve?
I believe his middle name is Chong. Yes. The marijuana laws are certainly going to change Illinois.
But that certainly doesn't mean that your employer's laws have changed.
Right.
And that's going to be... I think it's going to create some mix-ups. But anyway, it's going to be a mellow new year, Steve.
The federal laws have not changed, but the Illinois laws have. So we are going to see some challenges from that. That is for sure. Yes. Employment is one of the question marks. Is how can you be employed if you have a policy against something that is no longer illegal?
Well, you know, you've got a whole group of politicians down in Springfield
that
I'm sure could probably mellow out. And maybe they can find some ways to like work together, man.
The tax money that this is going to bring in is going to change everything. The policies that are being put in place to try to help those communities that have been affected by the prohibition for all this time.
Well, prohibition is the big deal here.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of violence that it's not any different than the 20s.
Right.
Chicago's a very violent time right now in some communities. And usually it's because they're protecting turf, man.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no turf.
That prohibition has created crime. And just like it did with alcohol, marijuana has created that. So hopefully the 20s this time will be different.
Well, yeah, grab some Birkenstocks, a handful of granola.
And some flappers. We need more flappers.
You need flappers.
It's the 20s.
Well, that was from a bygone era, man.
It's come back.
That's right. Well, you know, later on this year, there'll be Scooby and Shaggy having
Zoinks.
A movie. And maybe we can figure out what they were talking about all those years ago.
So let's wrap up 2019. What were some of your favorite parts of 2019? We've reviewed so many books and movies in the last 52 weeks. Do you have a favorite? What was your favorite book of 2019?
Favorite book. I read a lot of good books, mm-hmm. Steve. I read a lot of good books this year. But the book I think that had the biggest impact on me was, because and not just because of the material, it was basically on how it was presented, was Brian Kaplan's book, Open Borders, The Science and Ethics of Immigration, where he was arguing, a contrarian argument, at least to many people, that immigration is very good for society, and your society should be open to immigration to your society.
And this was the illustrated book that Zach Wienersmith was the illustrator.
And what was so important about that is that Kaplan has always been an interesting writer, and he has many wonderful things. In fact, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this book was illustrated by Zach Wienersmith, and many of you know him from Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, the cartoon. In our notes, you can go to it.
Mm-hmm.
He is incredible, and he wrote with his wife, he wrote the book Soonish. But what Kaplan said was, because Zach Wienersmith illustrated this idea actually got to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's his best-selling book. So you're a writer, and you're trying to influence society through ideas. You're a professor. You're teaching economics. I'm an economist at heart. And you're trying to get your ideas out there. Well, he's written all these books, and maybe a few people read them. Yeah, maybe a number of people read them. But this book got to the masses,
mm-hmm.
and so it shows how visual ideas or visual medium can help difficult ideas that many people will not sit through, allow them to kind of take place. And I think that's the most important thing you can come away with. If you have a difficult idea that you need to bring to the masses, a visual medium may help you articulate better. And there you go. That, now you've got your idea out there. And you may still disagree with it, but at least you followed through with it.
At least you did a little bit of study. At least you have the information. That's what, at least the door is open to finding more information. Gee,
this is
familiar.
This is a good book.
I have chosen Recursion as my favorite book of 2019. This is by,
dun, dun, dun.
By Blake Crouch. This is a book that I think I really want to discuss, and we're going to make this one of our read together books.
And we are, because when you put it on our document mm-hmm. this week, I said, oh, this is a book that, one, has been put together as the best science fiction book.
The Goodreads, best science fiction book of 2019. Yes,
so
sir.
So it was released maybe in June of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You read it,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Steve, Andy Weir liked this book.
Yes.
And everyone else liked this book. And I didn't know about this book.
I didn't either, somehow. Somehow it slipped past me until I saw that it was the winner for Goodreads.
We should read this book together.
Yes. Let me go through it just real quickly. Recursion is the idea of a scientist who wants to help people who have memory issues. To solve memory problems, she's designed a method whereby people can recover their memories. But there's a side effect that she was not expecting. When you go to recover your memories, you actually leave your conscious body and return to the consciousness of your younger self in that memory and live your life from that moment again and get to make different choices.
Really?
Uh-huh.
This is like the Superman movie that was many, many years ago.
More like Quantum Leap.
No, I'm thinking of, what's the movie I'm thinking of? The one that starred Christopher Reeve?
The Christopher Reeve Superman movie where he...
He wasn't playing Superman.
Oh, Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time.
Yes.
Is this like Somewhere in Time?
Sort of.
Where she says, come back to me.
Sort of, but it turns really dark.
This
story goes to a very dark place and a very desperate situation occurs because of this technology. As a result of this technology, I won't spoil it, but this is a great book.
So you could make bad decisions and then go back and fix
what once went wrong. That's the quantum
wow.
leap. Yes.
All right, so this sounds really good. So on the 21st of January, because you enjoy this book so much.
Okay.
Let's have a discussion, and if our listeners would like to join us, they can pick up their copy of this, and they can read it, so that gives us about 3 weeks
uh-huh.
to read this.
All right, let's do it. 3 weeks. You've got 3 weeks to pick up your copy of Recursion by Blake Crouch. The link is in our show notes. Read this book. I think that this is the best book of 2019. Let's discuss it. Maybe we can get Blake Crouch to come on and discuss it, too. I have reached out to his publicist, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see what we can do.
Uh-huh. This is a great book. Go find that one. Let's get on to movies. Chip, what is your favorite, maybe not best, but favorite movie of 2019?
Well, Steve, I did see The Godfather this week.
Yeah?
That's
not your favorite movie of 2019.
No, that's from 1972.
Right.
Steve, I'm going with The Irishman.
Okay.
I'm going with Martin Scorsese did a great job. Joe Pesci.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Out of retirement.
This was an all-star cast. This really was a good film. You can go to the theater and watch this, or you can just pull it up on Netflix mm-hmm. and watch it. I have a feeling this is going to be picture of the year.
Really?
I've missed a couple of them. We're going to have Kyle Hickman on in a few weeks. He's going to be discussing his favorite movies.
And Dane Michael is going to come on and discuss his Oscarology study of these movies, too.
Well, there you go. I'm going to go with The Irishman as my favorite film of the year.
Favorite. Good. My favorite movie of the year is Avengers Endgame. This was the epic saga coming to an end that we needed, that we wanted, so much better than Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. This was almost a perfect movie.
This stars that guy from Less Than Zero, right?
Right. He's made a real good time of his cultural significance since he was in that independent film Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. became the symbol of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, he's got charisma, and Tony Stark certainly is the character that he was able to carry through all the films.
22. This is the 22nd of 23 movies in this series.
And this was a pretty incredible satisfying movie for those who followed this.
We talked about this in depth when this came around in the summer, but this movie did a fantastic job of giving us everything that we needed fan service wise and having a great story and giving every character their time to wrap up this story.
And I think where this kind of plays out even deeper than that is my daughters, who certainly had no interest in watching these films earlier in their life, and a lot of young people, they're going back to revisit these. And for them, that is maybe their Star Wars.
It is. It really is. As much as it pains me to think my cultural downbeat is Star Wars, this Marvel Cinematic Universe really is that for the next generation.
And certainly not every one of these films has been the greatest film of all time. But what they've done is they've been very satisfying and much different. You don't get a lot of hate coming from them like you have this passion in the Star Wars fan base.
Right.
When on how their, I guess, the latest trilogy ended.
Right.
There's certainly, it's not as polarizing. It certainly is much more loved.
Yep.
And, of course, the Black Widow is coming out this May, and that looks really good. I mean, it feels like falls right into how these films play together.
Right. I look forward to what's going to happen with Star Wars, and I look forward to what's going to happen with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, I picked The Avengers Endgame over Star Wars as my favorite of 2019. A lot of stuff happened in 2019. We don't cover the news nearly as much as we used to on this show, but there were some pretty interesting cultural things and scientific moments in 2019.
Well, I thought the message I had, or the news that I found, was the crater that they found in Greenland.
Uh-huh.
But that was in 2018. I didn't realize that. Oh. It was like in November of 2018 when the news... But they found a second crater in February,
wow.
Steve. So I think that, you know, as we start... I guess the 2020s, one of the...
The roaring 20s. We need more flappers.
Well, you know, both LSU and Clemson both won their games last week. They'll be playing for the national championship, and they're both the Tigers.
Really?
That's right. And they, by the way, they're both of their stadiums, they're nicknamed Death Valley.
Interesting.
So, I know. So many parallels. So if you say roaring 20s, it is the roaring 20s.
The Tigers.
Tiger roar.
The Tigers are roaring.
There we go. So anyway, and I think that what we'll find is that we're starting to understand human history. And what I mean by that is that these craters were created by something coming to Earth, whether a meteor or whether it's a comet or something. And maybe this is the genesis of human memory as we know it. Humans have walked the Earth far longer than the, 12, 15,000 years that we have, you know, real history. In fact, I don't even know if we have history that long, but we know that, you know, humans have been walking for a lot longer. Why do we only have that type of history? Why do we only, why does North America, all the great big animals that used to roam, why did they all die?
Hmm.
Well, maybe this is part of that. Maybe we're starting to put together some history.
So maybe 2019 is a turning point where now we have more information than we had before, and maybe we can extrapolate from these craters that were found.
Yeah, and it could be years and years and years for this to unfold, but this certainly seems very fascinating.
Right. You also point out that the case against news.
Well, I just threw this out there because the news is something that we tend to follow. We tend to have a Twitter feed and a Facebook feed that kind of places news out there.
Quote unquote news.
That's right. So from 2011, I'm going back to Brian Kaplan. He wrote an article, basically case against the news. And he said, listen, if you're a bright person following the day-to-day events of the news, may not be important. In fact, he goes on to say, you're much better off to go read a book on something that interests you. If you like biology, read a biology book. You like history, read a history book. This is something that you can, that's right, or science fiction.
Yeah.
This is something that you can grab more information on, and certainly it's going to be useful for you, micromanaging the day-to-day activities of stuff that you don't have an impact on, or can impact. Well, may not be the right a way to spend your activity.
Which is kind of what we did in 2019 on this show. We went from a news segment where we talked about the day-to-day, week-to-week news, and we kind of went away from that in 2019 and looked at a little more cultural, how things might line up.
Well, and you, if you think about it, we are in our sixth year, and we've been reading books on a pretty nice clip. Yeah. So we have more information to draw from, and it certainly makes the day-to-day news not as interesting. Although, you know, activities could have impact. It could impact you.
Sure.
Steve, what do you got as your news?
My news, my favorite story of 2019 was the first all-female spacewalk. That was October 21st. This was significant because we, the United States, have been kind of wishy-washy on space travel and where we're headed and how we're going to get there. And this was a symbolic moment where all female crew of the International Space Station went out and fixed a part of the ship.
They went on a stroll, Steve?
They went on a stroll. It was a long stroll, and I watched every moment of it. I was glued to the stream watching all of the space adventure.
So you and Roger Ailes have something in common.
I love space adventure. Yeah, he used to love space adventure. Space adventure is so important to me. I watch as many launches as I can. I watched a landing the other day. The Boeing Starliner landing. Do you know how boring a space landing is?
Well, they've got to land, Steve.
It was dark. It was before dawn. So everything that they were talking about, you couldn't see it. It wasn't visual. The instruments are saying that it's going to land just fine, and it landed just fine. That was the...
Well, there you go. Computer, Steve.
And
magic.
I watched it. The other one is the fact that we have found frozen water just below the surface of Mars. This happened in December of 2019.
Well, in fact, I was reading somewhere that was saying that we will find alien life.
Possibly.
And what it means is that means life on other planets.
Uh-huh.
Could be some kind of growth of something.
Now
but
that we have confirmation that there's water. Right. It doesn't have to be bipedal grays either. But now that we have evidence of water, water equals the possibility of life happening on other planets. This is an exciting time in our society. I've talked to my students all the time. The 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds of today are going to be the ones who are the scientists, who are making the rockets, who are going to get us to Mars in their lifetime. And hopefully it'll all go as well as we expect and not be the Waters of Mars episode of Doctor Who.
Steve, should we review our 2019 crystal ball?
Your favorite segment, Chip. The predictions for 2019, let's go through, let's turn back the Wayback Machine and see how dumb we were then and how much dumber we are now.
Well, no one ever said we were smart.
They were right.
Well, our parents did.
Well, they believe in us. I said that Donald Trump would not be the president of the United States at the end of 2019 because I had already said that for 2018. It didn't come true, and we got a couple more hours.
Well, Steve,
it's a few more hours. It could happen.
Steve, it's almost peach season.
It's almost peach season.
Well, he was impeached, but he's.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, he is the third president in U.S. history to be impeached.
Bill Clinton.
And the one of the Jacksons, Michael, I think.
Andrew Jackson?
Maybe Andrew. I don't know. I am not the historian of this team, Chip. He is impeached. We'll see what happens with that. It's a very interesting, what is going to happen with that in 2020 with an election coming up? We will see, but we'll get to our predictions next week. I predicted that Avengers Endgame would feature the death of Tony Stark. I was right.
Ding, ding.
Hey, I got one right. And Tony Stark's granddaughter, Rhodey Stark, would be the new Iron Man. That was not quite accurate. We'll see. We'll see who becomes the new Iron Man in the MCU, but we'll have to wait a while. I said that Avengers Endgame would feature Black Panther's sciencey sister Shuri as the key to ending the Infinity War. That was not the key to ending the Infinity War. There were other characters that took up that mantle, so I was wrong on that. Star Wars Episode 9, I said, would feature the death of Princess Leia. I was right on that. And the inexplicable yet official installation of Rey as the leader of the Resistance. Seems like the Resistance is futile in... Oh, sorry. That's Star Trek.
They had a plan, Steve.
We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Hopefully, we don't need a resistance in the future of Star Wars. I said that Star Wars Episode 9 would gross more than $700 million domestically. They're halfway there. They're at $350 million as of this moment. So hopefully, my prediction on that one will be accurate. You said that Amazon's Whole Foods would test more concepts and would move more mainstream.
And so what Amazon did is they've started a new supermarket that's not Whole Foods.
Really?
They did.
What is the name of their new supermarket?
I don't know. It's like Amazon Supermarket. Anyway, it's probably going to, we don't know what it's going to be like. It's probably going to be like Aldi, that type of thing.
That's more mainstream.
That's what my guess is.
Okay.
But this is actually, if this is my prediction, and I assume it is, I'm not too far off. Okay. In fact, downtown Chicago, we do have some of the Amazon stores where you can walk in and walk out with the food service and stuff like that. They've got convenience stores. But anyway, there is a grocery store coming. It is an Amazon grocery store that is not part of Whole Foods. So that I'm pretty impressed.
Okay. You said that chain restaurants would start preparing food again in their kitchens with real chefs because young people want real food. What's the 2019 restaurant review?
Well, I don't think I'm off on this. But we think of Grubhub and all those other services.
Mm-hmm.
DoorDash and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, we're starting to see some of this is coming to pass. And then we're also getting some changes. I mean, you can think of like fast food restaurants and stuff like
that. I'm thinking of the Impossible Whopper because I'm hungry. The Impossible Whopper has certainly changed fast food and how we're choosing which foods to eat. But I still haven't seen a lot of movement toward more creativity with food.
Yeah, there's a lot of those order surfaces where the foods are already prepared for you and they kind of ship them to you.
HelloFresh being one of ours, you can click on the link in our show notes and get on HelloFresh for 2020.
Well, I still think I'm a little bit early on this.
Not an advertiser, but a reasonable facsimile. This show brought to you by HelloFresh. You said that the blockchain will begin rolling out a register for some property, like financial services. Have we heard any
other property, real property? I think I'm still early on this.
I think blockchain is still on the horizon.
I think it's going to be the backbone of a lot of stuff. I think we're still a little early on this.
Uh-huh. And you said that Google and or Alphabet would rename YouTube TV because, boy, what a terrible name is YouTube TV.
Well, it just confused with YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And if you mention it to any person who's not in the know,
right,
they go, oh, I have YouTube.
Right. No.
Well, no.
YouTube TV is
their television service. In fact, what is really interesting about it is they must have negotiated incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
They're still holding their prices at, say, $50, where AT&T DirecTV, their streaming services, they upped it to, I think it's maybe $65.
Really?
Yeah, and Hulu Television, which has their full streaming live television, it's more expensive too.
Hmm.
So anyway, I have YouTube TV, at least for now, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, it really is a good service, but no, they have not rebranded it.
the other half of your prediction there was that streaming apps, that market has gotten very crowded in 2019 with Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus. One came true.
It is true. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to cancel some of these. Yep. So I may be canceling Netflix. We have Apple Plus for a year. We'll see how that works out.
I already canceled my Apple TV Plus because I watched the one show that I wanted, and I don't have anything else that I want to watch.
Well, I have an Apple TV, so they give it to you for the year.
Right.
I have HBO, and that was given to me through my cell service, AT&T. And you have Disney Plus.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, Sprint gives Hulu as part of theirs. And if you're at a certain tier, they give you Tidal, too, which is a music service. So, I mean, these are becoming very...
Do you see a consolidation on the horizon?
Well, T-Mobile and Sprint are already consolidating.
The streaming services.
Yeah. I mean, what is Apple TV going to do?
Yeah.
Are they going to buy a service? Are they going to meld into a service? Think of what Netflix, how vulnerable they are at this time. They have this huge body of content, which a lot of people like. We are going to see some stuff maybe merge into something. Who knows? Crackle, which is Sony's version. You have Paramount's version. I think these are going to be kind of lost in the shuffle, and they're going to have to figure out a way to work with some group.
And then we've got Pluto TV, which just is going gangbusters. It's got over 240 channels of free streaming TV right now.
They do, and how much entertainment can you have? That may be the real issue is... Yeah, you know, at some point you've only got so many hours to consume.
Right.
I'm going to mention this. AMC now has an app which you can watch movies. And they're giving away movies if you join their app, which is interesting because we may see now I'm doing productions right here. We may see a movie studio buy one of our movie chains, Regal or AMC or something, and maybe try to just say, well, you can watch it at the theater if you want a full theater experience, or you can watch it, you know, at your home.
I've been waiting for an at-home experience for first-run movies for my entire life. I've thought about this. I would pay $50 to watch a first-run movie instead of bringing my family of four to a movie theater and having the hassle of the theater.
I think that's too much. I think it's too rich for a single movie. You know, which you're doing is for a private viewing. Yeah, I think that's a lot. Although, you know, I get where you're going with this. It still is a lot.
I look forward to the future. 2019 was great for this show. Thank you so much for being a part of this, Chip. It's been another year of too much scrolling.
It has been wonderful. We should probably thank a whole bunch of people who certainly have put resources to us to allow us to update our equipment, to allow this thing to continue to work the way it does. So who are we going to thank, Steve?
Yep, our executive producers this year were Amanda and Ron, JD and Elizabeth, and Laura, who are such great supporters of everything that we've done. You can be one of them. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/too much scrolling, and pledge any amount and help us out in 2020. It would be really nice of you.
That would be very helpful. We have other things we need to update.
All of our listeners who have stuck with us this year, thank you so much. Hillary and Zach, Tim and Bernie, Chris, Dane and Dames and Jeff, Kyle and Steve, thank you all for your listening and support of what we've been doing. We appreciate when you come up to us and say, hey, I listened to the show this week. So keep listening. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of our great guests in 2019. We had 30 different guests.
Steve, there's
in
only
2019.
There's only 52 weeks.
We went to the Comic Con in Milwaukee and talked to 17 people in one day. So Rob Southgate, Felicia Day, James Goss, Neil Adams, Pamela Bador, Kyle Hickman, Dane Michael, Stacy Shaw, who supplied with so many different movie reviews this year. Stacy, you need to give us more movie reviews. Bob Camp, that was a great interview. Claudia Gray, we had so much fun talking to her, and the other 20. I'm not going to go through all 20 of these, but thank you so much to everybody who was a part of this show this year.
And Steve, Every great show has a band. Who is our Paul Schaefer?
Oh, I'm so happy to have our house band, Grenadier, giving us all of the music. Jeremy, our band musician who came out for the live show and everything, thank you so much for a great 2019. We look forward to 2020. Happy New Year to everybody. We look forward to the future. All of our best to you and yours. It's going to be... It's going to be an awesome 2020, I think. I think we got some good stuff coming up. I think we have enough information to survive another few more minutes before the ball drops. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next year, Steve.
That's right. Next decade. Let's do the dad joke. You can come back next decade. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. It's 2020. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm the Baby New Year.
See you in the future.
Hey, where's the champagne?
He needs a change. Somebody come change him.
Push the button, Steve!